A man was sleeping one night in his cabin when suddenly his room filled with light and God appeared. The Lord told the man he had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained the man was to push against the rock with all his might. So this the man did day after day. For many years he toiled from sun up to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all his might. Each night, the man returned to his cabin, sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. Slowly, doubts came. You have been pushing against that rock for a long time, and it hasn't moved. He begins to believe the task is impossible, and he is a failure. Disheartened, the weary man decides to take his troubled thoughts to God. Lord, he prayed, I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after all this time, I have not even budged that rock by half an inch. What's wrong? Why am I failing? The Lord responded, wait a minute. I asked you to serve me, and you accepted. I told you your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move the rock. Your task was to push. Now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking you have failed. Really? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong, your back muscled, your hands calloused from constant pressure. Your legs are massive and sturdy. Through this challenge you have grown, and your abilities surpass that which you had before. Yes, the rock hasn't moved. But your calling was to be obedient, not move the rock. You were called to work, have faith, and trust in my wisdom. You have done this. Now, my friend, I will move the rock. This is an old preacher's story. I'm not sure whose. I'm sorry if you've heard it before. At least you haven't heard it before from me. This is an old, well-worn preacher story, but it's a good reminder. Jesus looks at life and faith differently than we do. Things we see as challenges, setbacks, burdens, or failures may all be part of our life's work. In a different light, through Jesus' eyes, they may even be seen as blessings. Sometimes it's hard to remember, but Jesus just doesn't look at life the way we do. On Wednesday, I had a member of our congregation in my office. She's dealing with some pretty significant health issues, and she wondered, is God punishing me? She's not alone. The challenges we face, the burdens we carry just in our congregation, are legion. Some are known, many are not. They span generations. They impact children and adults. They include physical illness and mental health, declines associated with age, or accidents that blindside us. There are family issues. There are incidents at school or concerns at work. There are economic strains and legal matters. There are questions of self-worth. There are toxic relationships. There's bullying and abuse. There's incapacitating anxiety and fear. The list goes on. Finding answers is not easy, especially when our lives don't seem to go as promised. Does God will our suffering? Is God punishing us? Sometimes it seems so. I had to take care in answering our sister. Too trite an answer would be callous. She was looking for understanding and hope. I thought of this story of the man pushing the rock, and I said to her, I don't know why you have these health issues, but I don't believe God is punishing you. On the positive side, she has been able to do some things at home that she hasn't had time to do before. Perhaps this is God's doing. We prayed together, trusting that though we couldn't yet see it clearly, God may well be working in her life, even through this burden of her health. Our reading from Luke this morning begins with Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. While there are differences between Luke's version and Matthew's, as well as the traditional version we said a few minutes ago, Luke gives us a glimpse at how Jesus looks at life and faith through this prayer. The most important thing we see is the intimate personal relationship Jesus has with God. Jesus calls God Father. Though it was a familiar practice among Jews in Jesus' day, I know of no other religion where God is referred to in such an intimate, personal manner. What is even more extraordinary is Jesus invites us into his relationship with God. When we pray, we too are to call God Father. Now, I understand some of the political issues around this language. For some, to call God Father brings heartache and pain. For others, the term can seem archaic and supportive of the patriarchal elements within Christianity. I take all of these concerns to heart, and I believe Jesus would too. After Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he speaks specifically about what it means to call God Father. Our Father is like a friend who will help even if we are a nuisance. Our Father, whose goodness far surpasses that of any earthly father, hears our cries and answers our prayers. A little later in Luke, Jesus compares his love for Jerusalem as that of a mother hen for her chicks. Looking at life through Jesus' eyes, we can have compassion for those who've been hurt by their fathers, and we can help them see our Father is unlike theirs. Our Father, whose love goes beyond any father we can imagine, is like no other. Looking at life through Jesus' eyes, we see our language is insufficient to speak of God. Transcending gender and culture, we must use all the language and imagery the Bible offers, especially feminine imagery. But we can't lose sight of the unique and extraordinary relationship we have with our Father. Not only does Jesus' prayer define our relationship with God, his prayer gives our lives meaning and purpose. In Jesus, the kingdom of God has come near. Seeking the fulfillment of God's kingdom, seeking to live on earth as in heaven, we are to live by our daily bread. Gluttony is a sin. Living to consume will only consume us. The misuse of wealth and power will destroy the goodness of God's creation. Praying for and appreciating our daily bread, giving thanks that God has provided for our needs, sharing our abundance that those in need might have their daily bread. This is the kingdom life we are called to live. As followers of Christ, we are to live this kingdom life as a witness on earth to life in heaven. Forgiveness is the hallmark of this kingdom life. Jesus teaches us to pray to God that we might be released from our sins. Sins, as we know, are those things which undermine our relationship with our Father. They may be things we shouldn't have said or done, or they may be things we didn't say or do but should have. They are legion. And through the eyes of Jesus, we see it's only by God's grace and forgiveness we can be freed from their power. But our forgiveness, our being set free, is not the sole or even the primary purpose of this petition. Jesus teaches us to pray for forgiveness that we might learn to forgive others. Simply praying for our forgiveness seems a little gratuitous. God, forgive me, I don't want to be punished for my sin. What Jesus is teaching us to ask is this: God, forgive me that I might know how to forgive others. This part of the prayer, this part of kingdom living, is not about our getting into God's good graces. On the contrary, seeking God's forgiveness is for the sole purpose of learning what it means to share God's good grace with others. The final petition Jesus teaches is for our protection. Though often translated temptation, the Greek actually means time of trial. Recognizing there are powers in this world that can destroy our faith, recognizing the kingdom life may lead to persecution, Jesus teaches us to ask God to protect us, to keep us safe from the time of trial, that our faith may be preserved. On Wednesday at Dixieland Devotions, I preached from another part of Luke, where Jesus calls us to love our enemies. A woman who appreciated my message that night came up to me afterwards and said, "But I sure don't know how to love ISIS." I said, "Neither do I. All I can do is to refuse to let the evil consuming them take away their humanity. For as soon as I no longer see them as people, evil has won." Friends, I don't necessarily expect you to agree with or even understand that statement. And I don't have time to unpack it this morning. But I do believe it is descriptive of the life to which we have been called by Jesus. A life of overcoming evil with love. Jesus was waging war on evil. He had traveled the countryside, trying to get people to look at life and faith differently. He sought to destroy evil by bringing healing to those consumed by illness, poverty, and shame. Hallowing God's name, promoting the kingdom life, offering forgiveness even to enemies, the things for which Jesus taught us to pray, were all part of the journey that will end when God's heavenly kingdom becomes a reality on earth. Beloved, as you look at the world around you, look with the eyes of Jesus. And in spite of the challenges, burdens, and setbacks that make you believe this rock will never be moved, you will see. Jesus' journey continues. And we are walking. We are praying with him. Thanks be to God.